Don't let the singlet and the messy hair fool you. We are a professional podcast today, coming at you from a disclosed location, aka the podcast studio, at a disclosed time last Friday. We have Ilya on our podcast from Musician Republic. Shit, I did that back the front. Normally we do the promos first, then introduce the guest. We check out Tony Sumo podcast, Tony Sumo Talk Time podcast, Mouthful. He likes to talk. He doesn't get his mouth full. He has lots of fight breakdowns, talks to some cool people in the biz, get the behind the scenes. If you like MMA, if you like kickboxing, you like fighting, you like grappling, check him out. If you like Jammu or you want to try Jammu, use the discount code DCEPODCAST. 20% discount. That's all you need. All right. Enjoy. Ooh, it's a ghost.
I'll kiss you on the lips and take you to Italy.
That is a classic.
Shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Anyway, no time for nonsense. Gotta get down to business.
We're gonna get straight to the point. We've got no time for nonsense.
No time for messing around. Straight to the point.
No time for fluffing about. Straight to it. Just straight to the point.
Just gonna get on with it.
Better not be honey giving me, bro.
Don't you look at me in that tone of voice. I'm Peter Zane. Now, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce to you, from the depths of our twisted imaginations, the DCE Pirate Radio Podcast.
It doesn't make any sense.
The Pirate Radio Podcast, my friend.
You're such an idiot.
So you can start whenever you want.
Ah, cool. Okay. Well, here we are again. Seeing as neither of us are ever really any good at intros, I'm just going to start talking.
Probably should have set that up for you too.
Yeah, that'd
help.
So
you probably wanted about... There you go. Make yourself comfortable.
Yeah, I don't want to be too far.
Whatever makes you comfortable works, because I can fix, as long as it's relatively close, I can fix it afterwards.
Nice.
It's just if it's like one's really quiet, one's really loud, it doesn't work. But I have the magic of the internet.
Love that.
That'll tilt as well if you want it to, or it should do.
Mate, it's all very customizable.
Yeah, here at Zeticletes, we're very professional.
Very professional.
We make sure that nothing is left to chance before we get going.
Even though we were literally about to try and pull that blind down and replace it with curtains
yeah.
2 minutes before you got here, and we were like, oh, this probably isn't the smartest thing to try and do before we start a podcast.
And James is like, oh, have you got a rail? I'm like, no, I can just tape it.
Just sticky tape it to the wall. That won't look. We're on camera as well. There's a camera up there.
Shit.
We filmed the... Yeah,
serious?
Yeah, I got much more engaged once I was on film, didn't I?
You don't mind the look of yourself.
Hey. All right, I've talked enough about myself. I'll introduce our guest.
Yeah, now, you probably did do that.
Funny side note, I, for the first, like, month... That's enough about me. Now listen to the story about me. Had the worst social anxiety about your name for the first, like, month of coming in. Because it was like... It's like, is it Ilya? Is it Elijah? There's no H at the end, but it's like there's I's and J's, and like when you type it on a smartphone, the I looks like an I and L look the same. And you don't know whether you've spelt it right. Anyway, I've meandered around that point for long enough now.
Is this your intro in case you accidentally say his name wrong now?
Yes.
Yeah. To get out of jail
this is Callum.
Very tactical. Love it.
Yeah, Ilya from Nutrition Republic.
Yes.
For those of you that are local to our lovely state, one of our Jammu stockists, and I believe completely plant-based cafe, I would call it.
Like
coffee bar.
Cafe doesn't sound quite like, it's almost like it needs another word.
Yeah, like, it's a cool cafe. Yeah. Like it's not just a it's that they sell coffee. It's a cool cafe. So whatever, let's make a word for that later.
Nice. Create our own industry, our own category.
Yeah, done.
Awesome.
Welcome.
But yeah, thank you, mate. You said it perfectly. It's Ilya.
Yeah,
you're right. The English language and the fonts, many fonts, make it really hard.
It was tricky.
Especially when you go to events and they've printed your name tag and they're like,
is this an Arabic name?
That's right. But yeah, Ilya, I haven't changed the spelling. I'm from Macedonia, so the J is like a Y or a silent J sound. So, yeah, but no, mate, spot on. Spot on.
Beautiful.
Good job.
All right. Love it.
Let's cut it. Let's go start drinking.
You just came from a from speaking thing. We should have asked you that on the podcast, so now I'm going to re-ask you again. So what was it called again? It was EO?
Oh, the session today?
Yeah.
Yeah. So through EO, Entrepreneurs Organization, which I'm a member of, they work with a place in the UniSA called the Center of Business Growth.
Yeah.
And today was a day workshop, pretty much a sales like pitch to their program, but it was called Five Strategies for Growth, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Made me really think about the shit we need to do and don't do.
Yeah.
Stop doing in business. So yeah, that's where I came from today.
Sometimes that stuff's really good, like you know it and you forgot it. Yes. Or you know it and you're not doing it. It's normally like it's normally never someone says something like, oh, that's
I never thought, oh yeah, that's what you meant to do. Like
yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I should post stuff on my social media. I should reply to people that message me.
Yeah. 100%. And when you're in the business and you're on the tools and you're doing everything, like it's hard, it's physically hard to have the outside perspective, knock on your door and be like, hey, think about this over here. So to pull yourself out and do a workshop like that, awesome.
What point did you find that? Because you've got 3 stores.
Correct, yeah.
How long, what was your tipping point from being like in it every day to getting other people to do it so you could take yourself out of it? And
you know what? We talked about this today. Yeah, and it's literally, it's like, how can I relate it to your, I guess, what you guys talk about? It's like fighting.
Yeah.
It's like literally round after round. It doesn't ever just stop. You every now and again, the round stops. You have a breather. You have a sip of water. You have a breath. And then bang, you're back in. So we over the last 3-4, what are we now up to, like 5 years, it's constant. You're in, you're out. You take yourself out for a while.
Yeah.
If something happens, someone moves, someone leaves, or you grow and you've got to jump back in. And you work. You made the coffees and then you're like, okay, I can step back now. We hire someone new. You step out.
Yeah.
We work on the business a bit. So it's constantly dynamic. There still isn't a point, and I'm still not at that point where I can completely step out.
Yeah.
Because you, from what I understand, like I was chatting to one of the guys in the shop the other day, and they were saying you still do pretty substantial hours like behind the counter effectively.
Yep.
How many a week do you reckon you would do?
Very, very good question. Very hard to measure as well because
a lot of the time, you're there.
And what's happened in the last 6 months is like this winter's been pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. It's just our economy is a little bit sensitive. We've had a lot of growth in our industry, so heaps of cafes are opening up everywhere, which is awesome. But Adelaide's only...
Yeah, there's only so many people.
So many people.
More cafes than people.
Correct, yeah. And everyone talks about we have the highest per capita rating in all these industries. It's like, well, that's not actually... that good of a thing. It's good for the public because they've got all these beautiful options, but for business owners,
they're
all fighting for the same.
You've really got to do something that sets you aside from everyone else.
That's it, man. So I've stepped in a bit more this winter. All up, it's very hard to measure. I mean, anywhere, some weeks it's like, you know, 20 to 25. Other weeks it feels like it's 50 to 60.
Yeah, wow.
And a lot of the hours that I do that is physical labor, I don't even put on the roster.
Yeah, you're just there doing it. Yeah.
And then I'll float around, and because we've kept it a bit leaner with our stuff, I'll float around, and if it's busy, I'll jump in.
Just jump in.
And if they don't need me anymore, I'll jump out. So it's full on.
Yeah.
Well, we're in the ring every day. And Nicole's the same. Like my wife and who runs the business with me, she's the same, like doing heaps of hours in the kitchen, but then she might step back and just sit on a computer and pump out some water.
The thing, like, you're always present, though.
Yeah.
Because obviously I spend half my life on the road driving around. Like, whenever I pop in, like, if you're there, you're not just sitting there sipping on a latte. Yeah. You're, like, you're making a latte or you're, you know, Nicole's in the kitchen doing, like, it's all, like.
And you've seen us at both stores. You remember that one day?
Yeah.
You saw me at Goodwood. Then you saw me at Bowdoin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because I was doing tastings. But that was the day I did tastings. And I, like, came in to do them at Hyde Park. Yeah. You were there. Then you left. And then I came to Bowdoin and you were there. I was like, oh, okay. I assumed you'd just gone home or something.
It's true, man. And you do. And, you know, what's really tough being in business is the moment you do sit down for a coffee, everyone's like, oh, look at you. You're living the dream.
Yeah. Or everyone wants to talk.
Yeah.
I was like, do you know Dimmy, the dudes from Dose on Marion Road?
Yeah.
Like, I was laughing because Christina and I went to school together.
Nice.
And I was chatting to them the other day. I think I've told you about it. They've got the coffee caravan. And I feel bad because, like, I'll stop there for a coffee and you want to have a chat, but you're happy that your friend's business is doing really well, but you also feel bad because you want to have a chat and you can't, like, they can't engage in the conversation. Yeah. So you're like, oh, and, you know, Christina's the, like, best and worst one for it. She'll be like, how's Spice Girls going? Like, how's this going? How's that going? And I'll start to answer a question and then someone will walk up and she's got to serve. And I'm like, oh, this is, I'm like, just have a nice day. I'll go.
I'll see you later.
I'll go somewhere else. Does mean I get to.
You know what? The fact that you've got that awareness, awesome. Takes the pressure off us business owners. Because when people get upset, like, you might forget their name. Like, you know, you haven't seen them in a week, and they're like, you forgot my name.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure what my name is, to be honest.
Yeah, where am I?
Yeah, so that's it.
So Hyde Park was your first store. What did you like? How did you get to that point?
Oh, what a journey! So we actually kicked off about 5 shops down from where we are now. Yeah. Number 92, King William Road, next to Asagio, which has unfortunately closed down. That was a bit of an icon in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, we had some issues with our grease trap and the landlord sort of. Not only accommodating, but being able to like help us out with the grease trap.
Yeah.
We're in a complex, had a car park underneath. It was just logistically a nightmare.
Yeah.
So we could have stayed there if we worked around a few things, but there was a shop up the lease up the road.
On the corner.
It was a bit bigger, it looked better. I was like, to be honest, a bit reluctant.
Yes.
I didn't think it was worth all that step, and we had to do so much work there. We had to like literally build everything and redo all the electrics. So it was hard work, but anyway, long story short, we ended up moving there, and that was around 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been there ever since.
Yeah,
but that's where it all kicked off.
And then so prior to the first, like, were you in food service? I remember you and I were talking, you had an IT background of some description, but I don't remember exactly what you said.
It was a short stint in IT. Always loved technology from a kid. And then at about 19, got into fitness, lost a bunch of weight, got into just being healthy. And then from that, got into a bit more bodybuilding and then started working weekends at a retail store in Harbourtown. And then from that, actually got a full-time job as a rep, kind of like what you do now.
Yeah, okay.
Go around, sell to businesses. I was working for a distributor. It was awesome. Dream job. And then from that, through sort of looking around at what's going on in the industry, I met, I don't know how to label him now. I guess I could say it, ex brother in law now. Bit of a tough.
It's a hard one to label. Yeah.
Hard to label, but awesome dude. Love him. We got together, started talking about business. He was quite entrepreneurial. And then from that, we thought, let's do a supplement store. So Nutrition Republic, as the name, was originally a retail store.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. Whereabouts?
On King William Road at that location.
Oh, so it was like a sup store.
Yes.
Okay.
So 2012, around October, we kicked off. It was Whole Foods and supplements because we were learning about health foods, whole foods.
Like a one-stop shop type thing. You can come in and get your sups and you can get a food at the same time.
Spot on. Problem was customers weren't ready.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People would walk in. The guys for the sups would be like, what the fuck's this brown powdery stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the guys for the, you know, organic superfoods were like, why do you have all these chemical things?
Yeah.
So we were trying to merge industries, and that was a bit of a reflection of what I was going through at Nicole.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. And retail was tough. Online was really hard. There was no foot traffic on King William Road, so we made some pretty bad decisions.
Yeah.
And then through some personal experiences, we kind of, and learnings, we were like, nah, we need to do this. We started eating differently.
Yeah.
So we're like, man, there's got to be more people that
want
gluten-free, organic, natural, whole, like you said, plant-based foods.
Yeah.
And as we started implementing things on the menu, things just grew and they took off. Mm.
It's such a hard one because it's so hard to find. I work in town.
Yeah.
It is so hard to find food that I'll eat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that picky. Like, I just don't like sugar, essentially. Yeah. Like, it's nothing crazy. And it is so hard to find. You go to food which you think's okay.
Correct.
And they've somehow put sugar on steak, or they've somehow put sugar in your salad, or they've put, you know, croutons. There's something weird going into everything, and you're like, there's like two places I can think of that I can go and get food every day that I feel good about it, and that's the entire city. Like, that's in a 10-minute walking radius of the city. So
it's for real.
I can get with a hole in the market, but then on the other side is people are cheap and people are lazy.
Correct.
And they don't want to spend an extra $2 for real food.
Spot on, man. And it's becoming. We were talking about this the other day with a few friends in the industry. You know, the health food industry has grown really quickly.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that are jumping on board for the wrong reasons in the wrong ways.
Yeah.
People, because they haven't caught up with the education, are seeing all these brands pop up and they're like, oh, yeah, that looks healthy. It's got organic in the name, or it's got this and now it's gluten-free. It must be whole vegan term is really messy at the moment because a lot of people associate veganism with being
healthiness.
Healthy.
Yeah,
yeah, oh, don't and then they see, started.
You know what I mean? And then you look at the shit that's out there, you're like,
60% sugar. It's just natural sugar.
Yes. Well, look at, like, we've got some friends who, yeah, again, like, it, the education piece, and they're like, I think they're doing it. Like, they're not going about it the wrong way, but you meet so many people.
They're an example of how to do it right.
Yeah.
But it would be horrible to be in their industry.
Oh, shit, yeah. But it's so easy for people to, you know, I look at those, like, the raw desserts, and it's like, yeah, cool. And but I still treat them as a treat. Like, if I'm going to eat that, it's like, that's a treat. Whereas other people go, oh, no refined sugar. Oh, I can eat this every day. It's like, it's still full of fruit sugar. Like, it's still going to make you fat if you eat it all the time.
Yeah. It's still 6,000 calories. Yeah. Like,
we've got so many.
Might be exaggerating. Yeah, let's say 600.
Yeah. We've got so many recipes on. You're right. We've got so many recipes on DCE. Like, because our web space started from pretty much that, like us being sick of not being able to find unbiased. And I realize that by us writing it, we're still adding our bias to
but
it.
I like my bias.
But I like.
But is your bias, you know, coming from an element of truth?
Yeah.
And well, research and deeper understanding. Yeah, it is. So fucking be biased.
Yeah.
That's like us. People are like, oh, you're biased with this. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, but I've read a little bit about it. Correct. But the heap of our, we've got dessert recipes on the website. And the disclaimer we've got is like, disclaimer, like you will still get fat. Look, what's the actual wording on it? It's just like, if you eat this.
You keep talking, I'll look it up for you.
Yeah, like, because we started, Matt's mum, she was great with the dessert stuff because neither of us eat heaps of sweet things anyway, but
I can cook, I can't bake, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I can make dinner, I can't make desserts, I'm not really good at making, like, a pie or something, I'm just, I don't use the oven, essentially.
But, yeah, all of the, clean desserts, if you will, Matt's mum was making, and we started, like, working out what the calorie content of them was. It's like, well, okay, these are still, have you got it? It's like, the disclaimer is something along the lines of, while this is better for you than eating chocolate, if you eat it every day, this is still going to make you fat.
This is
going
to be fun to see how, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot more profanity in it.
G-rated version.
Yeah, well, there is no G-rated version of DCE. Not yet.
Awesome.
There you go. Where's it? All right, it's got to load. I'll put you on the spot.
Uh-oh. It's so hard. Like, if you go online and you're like, I want to lose weight, you type in, I want to lose weight, and the first, like, 10 pages of results will be someone trying to sell you a fat-burning pill powder.
Someone trying to rip you off.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, well, we're just going to create a community where we're gonna get our take on stuff and just put it in a public forum and build a bit of a community where people can talk about the issues.
I might not be right, but it's going to be my honest opinion.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to trick you. Yeah. I admit that I don't know everything. You know, I'm trying, like everyone is, but I'm at least going to tell you what I think. Yeah. I'm not going to sell you something because someone decided to give us a 10% off discount code.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you want to give me a 10% discount code, give me a discount code. But I'm going to have to like your product. I'm not going to just do it for the sake of it.
That authenticity. Love it.
Do you want that?
Yeah.
If you eat dessert all the time, you will get and or remain fat. Organic, clean, magic, whatever dessert is still dessert. This is better alternative than smashing down a tub of ice cream, but the cleanest dessert of all is no dessert. Don't say I didn't warn you, you fatty.
Awesome.
It's probably lost us some followers, but at the end of the day, like, that was what I was, because I like to have dessert. Everyone likes to have dessert. And, you know, you can't, I think it's unrealistic to say you're never going to eat anything that's bad for you. But if you can have something that's made from raw ingredients once a week or twice a week, or, you know, whatever fits into your schedule.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a huge difference from, you know, going past McDonald's on the way home and getting an ice cream sundae.
Every 2 days.
In my learning and experience, what I've realized is, you know, calories, 100% important to look at, but also 100 calories from pure refined sugar is going to behave a little bit differently in the body than, you know, 100 grams of, you know, sugar from a natural source.
Yeah.
You know, and although the calories are there, your body will process it slightly different and, it might put on the weight. Sometimes even raw stuff can be more
calorie dense
and loading to the body, but at least they're not going to fuck with your insulin as much or mess up your gut microbiome or get into your brain and make you stupid and all that stuff.
You've got alcohol for that.
You'll be fat and less sick. And
yeah. Well, you said you did some, like, some, got into bodybuilding a little bit.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one, because that's where I like to put it as there's, like counting calories, like eat whatever you want, meet your calories. That's like a short-term thing. Like, it's almost like a performance, like an athlete thing, even though they could potentially perform better with healthier food. But whereas the eating the right calories and good food with right nutrients is more of a longevity thing.
Spot on.
And it's weird because you can get these people, they can get such good results, and sometimes they just are, they've just got good genetics, like some and or pharmaceutical genetics.
Correct. Yeah.
But you can, like, count your calories, calories in, calories out,
yep.
Nail it. And yeah, you get the right results, but you might mentally and physically spot not on. Feel as good.
And that's where I was, man. That's what made me really question what I was doing. Because, I was big, I was strong, I was eating all the foods that bodybuilders ate, but I did not feel happy.
Yeah.
Healthy. And my adrenaline, you know, sort of, and hormone system was messed up.
All over the place.
My heart would have been in such a bad state. You know, I was constantly sick. And totally opposite. And so, like you said, about longevity rather than, like, you know, how you look in the moment or your quick, you know, short-term fix. So, bodybuilding, there's so many pros and disciplines and beautiful things you learn from it, but there's a lot of darkness to it as well.
Like most sports, it's like, it's one of the most unhealthy things you can do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, you know, from fighting similar with cutting weight. Like, you don't realize how bad, like, cutting weight is for you, especially if you're doing it all the time. And, like, you're putting your body through some strain. It's the same thing with your comps for your bodybuilding. Yeah, that's that last 2 weeks, last 3 weeks before a comp. Yeah, your body's going through hell.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and then you're manipulating calories. You're manipulating water, minerals, all that shit. We're not made for that.
Like, you're not meant to do that.
Correct.
And there's safe ways to do that or ways to minimize that. But if you're chicken, broccoli, and rice every day, actually, that's not too bad.
Could it's be not, worse, but you're right. You are missing out on a few little essentials.
There's maybe chuck some cashews in there.
Yeah.
It's interesting that I am seeing a bit of an evolution in the fitness, if you want to call it that, or bodybuilding industry. And, you know, we've had a few, like, people that work for us that are into it and, you know, people that come in as customers. And, you know, they're thinking about gut health and they're, you know, one of the boys that worked for us, he was thinking about this kind of stuff. You know, Jamu tonic and health and... slowly coming around.
Yeah, well, who was it that you were chatting to? Can't remember his name.
Abraham Lincoln.
Who was, like, was it bodybuilding or fitness? Well, I can't remember what type of comp he was doing. It was one of the guys that works for you. And
Zach.
Yes.
I was literally about to say, I need more information than that.
Yeah.
But
I got he's been smashing it. He's like, smashing Jamu, loved it. Like, he was, I didn't realize how engaged he was with you through social media because I don't look. I'm out talking to people in the real world, and then I went in one day, and he was like, "Oh," and I'm just like, "Whoa, what's going on here?" And he's like, "Yeah, I've been chatting," rah, 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 and I'm just like, "Wow, okay, like that." I didn't realize that. Yeah, you'd got that.
I thought Matt was a loser who couldn't make friends.
Yeah, that's because he thought he was talking to me on the internet.
But it's there's so many layers to it. So much learning, so much experience from what I've gone through with going down that massive traditional supplement /food way. Now thinking health and holistic and anti-inflammation and gut health and all that stuff.
It's amazing to me how supplement stores are in business. Like, I understand why they exist. Like I buy supplements. I'm not saying you shouldn't buy supplements, but physical stores. Because it's always cheaper online.
Correct,
So it's got to I don't know if it's just like an advertising thing or...
Nah, but then there's some people that want to go and talk to a person. There would be a huge proportion of the reason those stores are there are because they don't know and they want to go in and be told by someone what they need to do.
That makes sense because the last one that I've actually been in had no stock, essentially. Like, it's almost had like two of everything. So just in case someone bought it, you could give it to them, but it was almost like a showroom. It felt like a car dealership type thing.
Yeah, literally, you go in and it'll get to the point where it is like a virtual showroom where you'll go in, they'll show you through and then order it online. Don't actually cut the podcast. I'm having an idea. You'll be able to go in.
Oh, I had an idea the other day, completely off topic too. Remind me if you dare, but continue.
No, that was it. What's if you dare?
New concept.
Yeah.
Halloween's coming up because I've got some ads. Emails coming through. Sexy Halloween costumes for men. Yeah, there's a hole in the market.
Yeah,
what if I want to be sassy and sexy on Halloween and there's nothing for me to buy?
Love that. You go for it. You go for it, man. Let me know how it goes. Oh, man.
I derailed that. Sorry.
Yeah, well done. An interesting side note, sort of around
what more we're interesting talking. Than sexy Halloween costume for men.
Would you believe it? Yes. When I was at, we went to I went to an F45 gym this week because they're starting their 8-week challenges, and I actually, for the first time ever, like I was standing there, and I've watched documentaries about it, going back to the holistic nutrition diet piece. This lady got up and she did the last challenge, and the people that ran the gym got her to come up and tell her story. And effectively, she'd been diagnosed with diabetes.
Mm.
And to like, the likelihood of her listening to this podcast is very low, but I'll still say in the nicest way possible, I looked at her and it was like, yeah, okay, like I can see, like I can being completely judgmental, I can see how that would be a thing. Like you don't look super healthy, you know, I can understand how that might have happened to you.
You weren't shocked.
Yeah. And they put her on whatever the first level of medication was, and it wasn't doing anything. Mm. And they were going to put her on this different medication, which I assume is lipids, which is what they give you for high cholesterol, like real bad for your internal.
No, it should be probably insulin, like it's shots.
Yeah, maybe. But she was like, nah, I don't, like, to her doctor. She's like, I'm going to do this challenge. Like, give me 8 weeks and we'll come back and do it again. And obviously, like, paired with the workout she was doing, like, they provide coaching around what meals to eat, obviously, to optimize your 8-week challenge thing. End of 8 weeks, she no longer has.
She's not pre-diabetic anymore.
Yeah, she's not diabetic.
That's right.
And I was just standing there. I'm like, wow. Like, I've seen, you know, it sounds stupid because I've seen it in documentaries and, you know, you read it in articles and you're like, oh, okay, well, that's what this article says. But there's some, like, there's a weird level of reality that's brought to you when someone stands in front of you and said, like, I was on a horrible, horrible path and being healthy made me, well, healthy.
Yeah, that's it.
That is the whole, like, I get a lot of my information from podcasts, other podcasts, but there's a big disconnect, in my opinion, not a doctor, even though I may claim on the internet sometimes, but there's a big disconnect between prevention or healthiness and cures. So it's almost like people go to the doctor as a last resort when the problem is really bad, or they, you know, when a problem occurs and the answer is give you a pill. There doesn't seem to be a lot of somewhere you can go with like a nutritionist or like a one-stop shop center where they're combining what you're doing to yourself instead of just trying to minimize the damage. Because, you know, I would imagine, I'm going to just tell a story that might not be based in truth, but a lot of people would be coming pre-diabetic because of their diet or lifestyle choices. And you go to a doctor, and how many doctors are saying, If you make these changes in your life, you are going to see an improvement, and we can potentially help or fix this potential problem. Or here you go, here's a pill you can take, or here's something you can do. And people in their heads think, okay, that solves the problem. I'm going to keep doing it. You know, I wonder how many diabetics are out there that smash an insulin shot straight after eating a piece of chocolate cake instead of changing the diet and not eating chocolate cake every night. You know, you don't want to say don't eat it ever because everyone loves chocolate cake, but it's almost enabling the lifestyle that resulted in the problem in the first place.
Mm.
I don't know how to solve that problem, but I think that's going to be I would like to see that. I'd like to be able to go to like a doctor that also had a nutritionist background or actually understood some of that preventative stuff.
It's happening from what I can see. And even, you know, Nicole has an autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
She works with some integrative, they call them now doctors and naturopaths, and they do, like, they look at blood results and the doctor will be like, hey, nutritionist, what do you think? Or naturopath,
that's
what
awesome.
Do you think? So it's slowly happening, but for a long time, I agree, it's been that way. And doctors with traditional medicine, they don't look at the cause or the cure. They just mask the symptom. They just, okay, you've got this symptom.
Mm.
Here's a pill to change that symptom.
Yeah, don't worry about what it's doing to your other organs, correct. But it'll stop that other bad thing.
Well, that's another pill for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's where people end up being on all this medication, and it's terrible because you're right. People don't realize that medicine, although it has effects, it has way more side effects. Mm. And those side effects then create needs for other medicines, which have even more side. So it's this compounding.
Yeah. All right. And I'm a big fan of modern medicine. Like, they've done some great things.
Spot on.
Yeah. It's not the only answer to everything. There needs to be a combination. Like, I certainly wouldn't like all the doctors to just disappear. I'd just like the nutritionists to be in there as well.
Yeah. Very true. Well, it's like, for me, that's like, you know, training, right? Whether you're in fighting or bodybuilding or any type of sport, it's like doing, having only one person tell you that the only way for you to get results is to just train.
Mm.
And without having a, you know, a physiotherapist or a masseuse or someone tell you to stretch or someone tell you to rest or eat or a nutritionist, whatever. It's like, nah, don't worry about that shit. That doesn't do anything.
Yep.
Just keep training.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big thing in martial arts, as you mentioned. Yeah. Like, it gets culty.
Yeah.
And then it's, so that, and then it gets further and further passed on. It gets more and more culty. And then before you know it, it was someone that might have known what they were talking about who maybe wasn't the best at learning new things or consulting with other people. But they might have known what they were talking about. Now you're talking with someone that was trained by their brothers, uncles, dogs, cats, chicken, and is three quarters of the world around and 200 years removed.
Yeah.
And they're going, this is the only way to solve the problem. You know? You sure?
Yeah,
have you tried that against someone that wasn't in your cult? Like,
correct.
People get very stuck in their beliefs.
And attached, you're right. Attached to their identities, yep. It's full on.
That's why Jimmy Bang Bang's good to have around. He loves the chaos.
Yeah.
I just operate well in the unknown.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I'm just contrary. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but my automatic response if someone says yes is to say no.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And that's got
I've never
me.
Picked up.
Yeah, no,
that.
It's not. It's got me in a lot of trouble, but I think it also gives you a bit of a unique perspective sometimes.
Yeah, and you got to keep questioning things and reevaluate, because you know what we know now in, you know, 10 years might have changed.
Yeah.
Considering different circumstances and what's going on in the world and blah, 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 blah. So you've got to constantly check in, reevaluate, I think.
So why plant-based? It's curveball.
Nice. For our business?
Yeah.
Personal
or business. Well, yeah, I made an assumption. But
No. Yeah. You know, to be honest, the business is a big reflection of us personally. Well, I think, look, you know, plants hold the, you know, and nature holds the key to what we should be consuming. You know, we're natural beings. We're born on this earth. You know, there's nothing artificial or what would you call it, technological in our body.
Yeah.
So we...
Yet.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends who you talk to.
That's what I mean.
There's a few people with silicon in them.
That's true. good call. Yeah, 100 years would be different. But now, or even looking back at the history of humanity, like, we're natural beings. So our bodies are organic, you know, compounds of cells and structures and all that kind of stuff. And I believe that we need to consume things that are also aligned with that.
Yeah.
Our bodies are designed to live and thrive off of that kind of stuff. And look, plants, I think there's heaps of benefits that we can talk about, but the majority of it is, you know, the minerals, the fiber, the phytonutrients, the proteins, you know, all the goodness that our body needs to kind of not only function properly, but help eliminate toxins, keep our hormones balanced, et cetera, et cetera. So I think as a base, like, plants are just super important.
Mm.
And I don't think plants are just green leafy vegetables. It's stuff that's in Jammu. It's, you know, it's coffee. Coffee comes from a plant. Fair enough, we've mucked around with it a bit, we've roasted it, we've extracted it or whatever. It's still a natural thing. And if it hasn't been laced with chemicals and all that kind of crap, it's still a natural source. You know what I mean? So as much as plant-based we focus on, the deeper purpose for us at NI is to remove as much of the crap as we can.
Yeah.
You know, because you can, still be plant-based, but if it's, you know, Roundup sprayed leafy greens, mate, you're not just having plants. You're having a bit of chemical.
Yeah.
It might not
be
enough to kill you, but
it's still going to make a difference if you keep on filling yourself with that.
Yeah. And if your body's unhealthy, it's going to have trouble eliminating it.
Yeah. It's putting extra stress.
Correct. So, plant-based are just... For us, and I think that's a bit of a term that's been kind of massaged into the industry.
Yeah.
Sounds cool, plant-based, you know what I mean?
It sounds like, good.
Yeah.
So, someone in marketing got a race for that one.
It's
made in a kitchen, not in a lab.
Oh, that's my
term I've coined this week.
Yeah. Love that. So yeah, just bringing it for us, the philosophy is bringing it back to the real whole foods, you know, things that haven't been messed with as much, and not just from a chemical point of view, from a genetic point of view.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, there are some things that have taken millions of years to form and grow in this planet in the structure that we live in.
Yeah.
Let's not mess with it. You know, because when we do, and I believe that's why everyone's sick, we've messed with it so much and we're so far removed from consuming things that are made for us or
yeah.
aligned with what we're, you know, how we're created as human beings. And that's why the body's like, I can't do this anymore, you know.
I watched a video the other day, just a YouTube video on different plants.
Yep.
And I was shocked because it was over time. Like, it was essentially like what they were based on.
That was really funny. To like,
this is a fun, it's a fun way to say it.
I don't know what you're about to start talking about, but I watched a video the other day and it was on plants.
What, like, did you assume it was porn?
I don't know.
What's he doing watching educational things?
I don't know. I just, it's, you're a straight, you're a beautiful man.
No, it was a YouTube, Sam Minella. And I'm sure he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Sal Minella.
No, I think it's Sam Nella or Nella or something.
You get that from chicken.
He did a lot of like history ones. But anyway, this was based on the history of plants and it was.
That we consume or?
Yeah, yeah. So like farming ones.
Yep.
And it was just talking about, you know, like broccoli and broccolini and like bits and pieces and talking about where their origins were only a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how many things that we buy at the shops
weren't the same thing.
So that was that was one that did my head in. I think it was broccoli and four or five other things. Might have been kale, something along that. There was things that looked nothing like each other that essentially they were saying this was the same thing 100 years ago. It's just that by selective breeding, some people wanted the bulb, which was the Brussels sprout, so they selectively bred for that to get this huge bulb. Yeah. Some people wanted the leaf, so they made it so it was spinach. It was amazing.
See, I don't have a problem with that. It's like people doing hybrids of citrus fruits.
Yeah.
When you graft certain branches together and you have, you know, orange and lemon. Have you guys seen that?
No.
Yeah.
So the fruit itself is half-half, or does it just grow lemons on one side?
When it sprouts, they can both grow from the same plant because, you know, at the core of their DNA, they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
But they can actually use the same plant. And then you can, like, have these hybrid sort of fruits, but that's through nature. That's like breeding two different types of dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You're altering its DNA, but you're not doing it through
chemicals
and, you know, other artificial stuff. You're letting nature do it. You know, it's like different races, you know, breeding. You're going to have another human being that's perfectly functional and healthy.
Mm.
In some ways, maybe even better because they inherit good genes from each other. But, yeah. So, yeah, because I grew up in Macedonia.
Yeah.
My grandparents were farmers, and they did stuff like that all the time.
It's interesting. Did they
talk about sweet corn?
No, I know that one.
Yeah.
That was almost inedible.
Yeah.
You had to boil it or cook it or something. Yeah,
it pretty much wasn't a thing.
And it was maize,
like,
wasn't it?
Yeah, they genetically engineered it to be edible. Because I'm pretty sure then they start. That's where cornstarch and all of those corn syrup, like it was another sugar source.
Yeah.
Effectively, I think obviously I'm going to go out on a limb and blame all the big sugar companies. They worked out that it was a cheap, fast growing way to make a different type of sugar.
Well, I know that's a weird one, and I'm not an expert, but I know that there's weird government subsidies for corn in America, and that's why there's so much high fructose corn syrup. Which is the sugar substitute.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's not, it's one of those things where everyone goes, it's so expensive to eat healthy food. But it's not necessarily economically cheaper to make that much corn. It's just the fact that they've got so much subsidies by the government due to reasons that the end product for the company is significantly cheaper.
Correct.
Which leads to them putting, and then they just got all this corn syrup, you got to get rid of it. Like they didn't even necessarily want to put sugar in everything. It's just, it's super cheap to make this crop.
Yeah.
I made heaps of it. Now what the fuck do I do with it?
Yeah.
Let's stick it in everything.
Yeah, it's spot on. You know, big industry, big business, and then government involvement. Yeah, it's messy. And then, you know, you have food pyramids and what do they call the sad American or standard American diet, which is not based on true nutrition.
On science,
science. It's based on industry. It's like, shit, we have these crops, which is great for our industry and our economy. We need to sell more bread.
Mm.
Boom. Yeah.
You know, eat more of that, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I had a mate who was doing, and this is probably 4 or 5 years ago now, he was doing nutrition at uni. And like, I remember, like, he just showed me, like, and we didn't have long debates about his uni course because I'm a moron. But like, I just remember one time we were talking about it, and like, he was talking about his day, and they taught him the food pyramid from 1960.
Yeah, man.
And we're both sitting there, like, we both know this is wrong. But this is what they're teaching you for a nutrition course at university. And, you know, we both like, fair enough, you're just studying nutrition. I don't have a background in nutrition. I just wanted to learn for myself. We know it's wrong. So why is it being taught? Like, where does it come from? And it comes to stuff like that. It was like, well, it was manipulated by people for reasons.
Spot on. Cigarettes were good for you once upon a time.
Doctors used to prescribe them, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you stressed? Yeah, bro.
Go nuts.
Yeah, well, it's like you see that. Oh, I nerd out on that stuff. Like, yes. I'll go and find, like, old newspaper articles. Like, I'm a weirdo. But, yeah, you find the old adverts, like, 9 out of 10 doctors smoke Marlboro. And it's just like, sorry, what? And you look at it now and you're like, oh my God, how stupid were we? But back then it was like, oh shit, doctors are doing it. Better smoke. Like,
correct.
What are you looking perplexed at?
So it's still going.
He does this every time. Every single time. He's like, oh, I don't think we're recording. Oh no, we were recording.
You do it once and you learn. We say we're recording, like we had
take 2.
You commented on like our setup. For the first like 15, well, granted, we didn't have it for a few, but probably a good 10 after we had this whole setup. I didn't have it plugged in properly. So we were just recording off the microphone on the computer. And we couldn't, like, I was getting really pissed off. I'm like, we spent all this money on this equipment. And it's getting worse than the shitty old microphone we used to have. And then finally we figured it out one day. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
That was a fun moment
for me, mate. The startup journey is awesome. You learn a lot. Love it.
You learn from mistakes. Like,
correct.
I think that's the thing. Like, well, I don't know if you'd agree. I'd love your opinion on it. But from a business perspective, the whole just start mentality, I think, would help a lot of people. Because a lot of people try and perfect things. And you never, like, you're going to make a mistake, potentially a very costly mistake. And you learn from that mistake. Whereas if you keep worrying or not thinking about it, well, yeah, you won't make a mistake, but you also won't make anything.
Spot on. I can't remember who said this. It was a video clip or a podcast, and it's like, you know, if you have two people that start, you know, at the same point, thinking as I'm trying to speak, at the same point, and you've got one guy who doesn't care about making mistakes and he keeps making mistakes, but he's started.
Yeah,
he's slowly going to edge his way so much further ahead than the guy that's standing there analyzing, thinking.
Yeah.
Strategizing, trying to make it perfect. So even if you make mistakes and mess up like heaps of times, you're still going to be further ahead than the guy who doesn't. So you just, definitely on that note, just start. And even when we evolved our business as a cafe, man, I had no idea. I didn't know how to make coffee. I didn't know how to do it. I'm not a chef. We're not a cook. Just figured it out as we went.
That's, you're singing to the choir, right?
Yes, love it.
I think a lot of it, like, mindset has a huge part to play in it as well, because I saw a quote the other day that was, it was along those lines. It was like, if you've never failed, you've never tried, or something like that, or like, you learn more from your failures than you do your successes. It was one of those, you know, you scroll past scroll past them on Instagram, and I, like, it was funny. I went down a weird little like wormhole in my head. It was like, I've never had a failure. And then I thought about it. I'm like, nah, that's a stupid thing to say. I must have had failures. And then I started trying to think about things that I'd failed at. And I, again, went off on a tangent, and I just realized that, yeah, basically, I fuck stuff up all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't
remember that time when we didn't have the microphones plugged in?
Yeah, but I don't log it as like a
negative.
As a negative, I just go, oh, cool, won't do that again. Like, or you know, like, there's that, and then you keep going. Like, it's like what you said. Like, if you keep going, even if you take 2 steps forward and 1 back, you're still taking 2 steps forward. Like, the danger is if you do something wrong, and it, like, or if you make a mistake and you keep making the same mistake, then you need to rethink what you're doing, because that's not very clever. It'd be like for you guys, like, yeah, but it's like, oh, this shop isn't working. Nah, we're just gonna do this harder. Like,
more supplements.
Let's go harder on the thing that isn't working. It's like, nah, okay, like, how are we gonna manipulate or modify this to make it work? So, yeah, I meant to say that to you the other day. Like, I had one of those funny, you know how you have those funny little like check-ins with yourself, and I was like, ah, I don't think I've ever had a failure. And then as you say it, you're like, you're an idiot. Like, of course you've had a failure. Like, what a ridiculous thing to even suggest. And then
correct.
At the time I was like, oh, well, at least this is just a conversation in my head. Nobody else had to know how retarded I am. But now it's on the internet.
Yeah, so.
Maybe this is a question for off the podcast, but what's it like working with your wife from someone who's married?
You know what? I get that asked all the time.
Yeah.
And I bring it back to vision, values, and being aligned, right? And we're very, very lucky. Maybe it's not luck. Maybe it's just, again, it's both of us. We are literally on the same page. So it's like having someone else outside of your head thinking in the same way that you do. And that's because from the beginning, when we started learning about health, wellness, we were both on that journey together.
Yeah.
You know, she had some issues with her health. I had some issues in her health. So together, we were bouncing those ideas off together. So when we started the business and went into business, we were both like, yep, this is who we are. This is what we want.
Yeah.
And although, and the only challenge would be not being able to switch off and then letting that affect our personal life. But we had that conversation. We realized, because we would go home and be all about the business.
Yeah.
A couple of years in, man, we're like, fuck.
Can we talk about something else?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And you realize that you lose yourself in it. So that's been the biggest challenge. But working with her is awesome, man. Because I don't have to think about the decision she makes when she's on her own. She doesn't have to think about decisions I make. And I know that someone walks in, like you guys did with Jammu, and I'm busy and you need to talk to Nicole. I don't have to worry and be like, oh, shit, is she gonna
get another thing we don't need in? Correct. Like, fuck's sake.
So
like,
it's good. It's good. Look, at the stage right now, we have different roles. We work in different, you can say, departments, even though like
areas,
we're all one thing. We can have our own identity within the business. I'm just thinking of more challenges and like you said, mistakes. You don't think of a mistake.
Yeah,
the challenge is we're both very entrepreneurial and we're both very driven
and
very like, what's the word? Not stubborn, but we both like to be in control. Control freaks. Yeah. That's the one. We're both control freaks. So like, but you know what?
That's, and a control freak's worse than mine.
But I think that's a great synergy because that's a good sign that you both want to do the best for the business. So, like, there are a few times when we work together on, like, let's say the food station. And Nicole's, like, the queen foodie.
Yeah.
She knows that place better than me. But I'm a control freak. Yeah. Also, being man, you know, you want to be a bit more masculine and take charge.
My food bar.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but I want to be in charge.
I've never made a smoothie bowl, but I'm going to do it.
I've got some good ideas.
You know what I mean? But that's, again, that was more me and myself and checking in and realizing that I'm, you know, overstepping in a certain way.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been another little challenge, but you work on it, man.
Mm.
And you realize, like, again, all the positives outweigh any of those challenges, you know, and having someone that's got my back 100% of the time and is on the same page, awesome. So we're very, very fortunate because I've heard of some horror stories, but
I think I would imagine, there's just a lot of people when they talk about working together, you probably just shouldn't be married. Like it's not that you've got a bad working relationship. You just have a bad relationship.
Love that.
A lot of people.
That's, you know what? And that's controversial, but it's fucking true, man.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Well, I feel that I have days sometimes I think the same can be said for a lot of people who say, oh, I never go into business with family or friends. And
only if your family and friends are shit.
Well, that's you hear people say that and every so often, like, it comes like the thought just goes through my head. Like I literally now exclusively have one business that my mum, like that I work for, that my mum owns, and I'm in two businesses with my two best friends. And it's like, I can't think of anything better. Like,
correct.
Like you, for all the faults we have and the times that I want to tell you to fuck off, like I still know on a core level, you have my best interest at heart and vice versa. So even though, like, we've established that, you know, Matt and I will both look at a problem and we'll, like, he'll look at it from here, I'll look at it from there. We'll both fix the problem in our own head, but we don't tell each other the working out of that problem. And then we'll, like, every so often, you'll be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, we need to do this. And then all of a sudden, when you actually explain, I want to do this, to do this, to do this, because then the problem's fixed, you go, oh, well, I wanted to do this, to do this, to do that, to fix the problem. And either way, you're like, ah, cool, problem fixed.
Let's do neither.
Yeah.
So true. And I agree. And it's, you know, relationships are hard. We're a family business.
Yeah.
And it's very dynamic. But I think it's a lot deeper than just, you know, don't do family with, don't do business.
Don't mix business with.
It's a lot deeper than that, 100%. So, yeah.
How do you go with switching off? So that was something that one of our our previous podcast guests, whether he said it on this podcast or something else I'd heard him say.
Who?
Liam. He was talking about
how it was on the podcast.
He doesn't like the saying find what you love and let it kill you. Mm. Or because you, at the end of the day, you're still going to be unhappy. So like something I've struggled with is moving from more of a you start at 9, you finish at 5 job, which you can just switch off when you walk out the door because it's someone else's job,
yeah,
to your own job. Like it's only really been the last 3 to 6 months where I've had like a phone down policy, or I've started to implement things where, all right, after 9:30 at night, I'm not going to look at my emails and my messages. That's a problem for the next day. Do you have something similar, or did you?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's important to switch off or disconnect or just and not completely like forget what you're doing, but have a moment to just refresh, reset your mind. It's like anything, you know. You turn your phone off and on, it's going to work a bit better. Everything's going to be reset. You can't drive a car, you know, redlining all
constantly,
day, every day.
Yeah.
You've got to let it cool down. You've got to turn it off. You've got to service it, whatever. So, but also you've also got to be really sick that at some phases you might not be able to, and you have to go hard and you have to push and work and be up and whatever. And other times you'll have a little bit more downtime, a bit more flexible. So the whole work-life balance is hard. It is important. I think it comes from, you know, being aware where you're at and also what you want, what you need. So being very, very self-aware, because sometimes I'll get up and I'm just fried. Like I just don't have anything in me. So I know for that day, I'm not going to try and do big, important, strategic, you know, crucial things. I'm just going to pace through the day. I'll get through it, whatever. Next day, if I wake up and I'm charged and I'm like, cool, I'm going to hit these important things. So just checking in with yourself and, you know, being honest and saying, yeah, you know, I just need to sleep.
Yeah.
I just need a nap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think that was Liam's answer as well. He's like, you know, he was talking about the Jocko Willink. I don't know if you've ever heard. He's an ex-Navy SEAL where, you know, it's very much that get up at 4 o'clock every day, you know, 3 hours sleep, like get it done. I might be misrepresenting it, but like, he's very much like work harder. Like, and that's a very good...
That might work for some people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a good thing for some people to hear. I always say it when I'm coaching people and working with people. There's some athletes, they need to be told to work harder.
Yeah.
And there's the other people that need to be told not to work so hard. And half the trouble is trying to figure out which one needs to hear which message. Yeah. And I think he's very much the great message for someone who just like, you're not working very hard. Like, pull your finger out, work a little bit harder. Maybe I've got a high opinion of myself. I generally go the other way. I generally work too hard, burn myself out, like you're saying, get sick, get injured, get tired, no matter what I'm doing. And I struggle with switching off sometimes. Yeah, I've had to like implement strategies.
And there's so many variables. This is the thing, right? If you're in the military, are you like, it's a very different world than running a, you know, 3-location like us, you know, 7-day operation. Where you're completely out of control of when customers come in, what they order, what happens on the day, the dynamics, you know what I mean?
And you're still responsible for it and all of your staff.
Correct. Right? It's very, very different. So it might be easy, not easy, but easier to be more disciplined if you're in the army.
It might be the right thing for the right
and
time.
And the right time, you know, right person. So
right person.
Yeah. Having a sleep in when you're on the front line, probably not a good idea.
Correct.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I like to think about it as sprints, is that there's a sprint for a period of time. And that's when you go, go, go. And you might not be in control of when that go, go, go is. But then after that period of time, whether it's 2 months, 6 months, 1 month, depending on what you're doing, recheck in. Go, all right, that was hard. What are we going to do? Are we going to sleep in for the next week, or are we going to sleep in today? Am I going to get an extra hour of sleep tonight because I'm fried today? Or am I going to put, you know what, I've got 5 things in my, they can be done tomorrow. I'm gonna go walk the dog and do what I want. And it's having the discipline, realizing who you are and which thing you need. Yep, because some people are the opposite. Some people need a check in to go, all right, I didn't do anything for 4 weeks.
I should probably
get something done.
Yeah,
spot on. And some people keep going and going and going until they burn out.
Yeah,
and they create other problems for themselves or their business or the people around them. Like I know when I'm in a lacking in sleep. You know, again, that has an effect. You can be very resilient and, you know, focused mentally, but that's only going to get you so far.
Yeah.
And I know when I'm in that state, I'm not
optimal,
you know, so I'm not going to do things in that moment that are potentially going to steer the business or my relationship, whatever. And that comes from experience where I have rocked up to work, no sleep, in a shitty mood.
Yeah.
And then something small's happened and I've, you know, reacted in a negative way.
Yeah.
And then who does that serve? No one. So, yeah, self-awareness, super important.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Like, I don't know, it's weird. It's hard to explain. Like, it's so hard to explain to people as well. Like, Todd, when we went out for dinner the other day, like, one of our friends a while ago said to me, he's like, oh, you're like a different person. Like, because we used to live together and we were both like, we were completely different people. But you don't realize it until you have one of those weird moments where you, like, usually it's when you see someone you haven't seen for a while and they're just like, whoa. You know, there's people.
You're wearing pants.
Yeah. That's weird. Like, yeah, it's like, it's just a journey. Like, it's an exciting journey as well. But yeah, it's that constantly. We had one, you know, mum was away, my family were away, and I was looking after that whole business and trying to do this at the same time. And I remember you saying before, like, we were in the kitchen, we were talking about something, and you were like, it was something along the lines of, like, it's not a sustainable workload. Like, you can't do that. And I, you know, typical, again, because I'm going to argue for the sake of arguing, I was like, nah, fuck you. Like, I can do it. And, I mean, credit where credit's due. I didn't burn the house down and, like, everything stayed running. But it did get to a point, like, last week or the week before. I remember Matt rang me. He's like, what do you got on today? And I'm like, nothing. And he's like, what? What do you mean? I'm like, I'm not doing anything today. Like, I'm going to walk the dog. Yes. I'm going to watch TV. I'm doing fucking nothing. And you were just like, yeah, all right. And like, and left it to it. And yeah, like, you hit that point. And like you said, like, I had my day or two where I just chilled and then we're back up at 100%. But it's weird for me as well. Like, something I learned talking, I feel like you might probably be the same. Do you know whether you're whether you're an introvert or an extrovert?
Oh, both. I love this topic. And
yeah, I have been thinking about. We went to dinner on the weekend, and the guys were all talking about whether they were introverts or extroverts.
And I dropped some knowledge.
Yeah, you dropped some. Nice. You dropped some bombs.
Well, do you want me to explain?
Yeah,
go.
So, I'm an introvert, but I can be very extroverted. Mm-hmm. And I had it explained to me by someone. A training course actually once, but it was like a bit of a one-on-one type thing. And the person was way too overqualified to be training me. You know, he'd been doing some stuff for the, you know, dignitaries of other countries and whatnot. I don't know how I fluked it. Like, yeah, it was one of those weird opportunities you get to take advantage of. But, he was talking about him and his business partner, and he was saying the same thing. He was saying he's an introvert. Like, and this guy was the facilitator that was coming in, you know, like walks into the room, like big energy. And the way he explained it is, he goes, introvert and extrovert has absolutely nothing to do with whether you're a confident, good speaker, good presenter. He said, what it is, it's where you get your energy from. Mm-hmm. So he goes, there's some people, he goes, for himself, he goes, he'll go out and he'll go do a talk for a day or do like five seminars, do all these presentations, and it'll hit 6 o'clock, hit 7 o'clock at night, and he goes, I'm beat. I want to go get a beer. I want to grab some dinner, and I've got to go to bed, recharge for the next day. He was saying his business partner worked in the same industry, did the same thing. It gets 7 o'clock for him, and he's like, what are we doing? Let's go. Like, I am so charged. I've got so much energy off of that. I'm ready to go and face the day. And that was his description of an introvert versus an extrovert. It was, you gain energy from interactions from other people. It's not necessarily you're good or bad at it. It's where you get your energy from.
Cool. See, and as you're talking, I'm reflecting in my experience. Can you get energy from both? Because I feel like I do.
Yeah.
But there, and you know, but then on the flip side, there are some days where we've had like a massive, it's probably more physical exhaustion actually, thinking about it, but we would have had massive days at the shop, served 300-400 people plus, right?
Yeah.
Interacted with like hundreds
huge
of people.
Huge amounts of people, yeah.
Right? And I'd be completely fried.
Yeah.
Whether it's more physical exhaustion, right? But then there are other days when we had just as a busy day.
Yeah.
And I am, charged at the end of the day. We're like, cool, let's go, whatever. So, but then on the flip side, I do like my alone time as well. And I love that environment of being around people. So, interesting.
Yeah. I've experienced that high off of people.
Yeah.
I find that it's kind of that, like, eventually it's a tipping point. Like, eventually, I need I need to spend a day at home by myself watching some videos or like chilling out by myself. Like, it might be once a month or once every 2 months, but like, eventually I get to a point where I need to, like, reset and recharge.
Yeah.
Cool.
Whereas
the more I've reflected on it, like I am happy. I'm happy pretty much regardless of what I'm doing. I'm happy when I'm by myself. I'm happy when I'm around other people. But this last, because I'm house sitting at the moment, so I'm a gypsy basically, and I've noticed this last house that I've been doing, like just through people being busy, I haven't had as much people time as what I normally would. And it's like, I was thinking yesterday, I'm just like, oh, like this is, like, I'm not sad, I'm just bored. Like, I feed off of other people. So, like, I get my energy from being, like, because I've noticed the last three, like, when we were talking about business picking up, I've realized it's like, oh, I'm home, I'm bored. So, I'm going out.
Getting off your bloody ass and doing something.
Well, because where before, I was just work, and I didn't have time to think about anything, really. Yeah. Now I'm just like, okay, like everything's slowed down a bit. Like, what should I do? Like, okay, I'm going to drop into this shop. I'm going to go to this place. I'm going to go do this thing. It's like, I can't get my energy source from, like, when I was looking after Spice Girls, I had to be down south, but yeah, I was finding ways to like.
You were go. Like, you didn't have a chance to take 10 seconds to reflect.
To realize that you
You had 10 more deadlines.
Whereas now it's like, I realized after that conversation the other night, I'm very much an extrovert in that I get my energy from being around other people. Like, I can be by myself and be happy, but I would prefer to be with other people. Even if it's like me and you just sitting, I don't actually have to talk to you.
Yeah.
We don't have to be, I don't actually have to be talking to you. I just enjoy the energy of other people around me. It's like, dogs keep barking.
Interesting topic. And I think it's you know, almost a bit of a balancing act, and then where you're at, and also it might change at certain periods. Tipping point's a good one. Yeah, they might get to that point where you're like, okay,
done. I'm done.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm out of questions. Have you got any?
What's next?
Whoa.
That's a good question.
Are you allowed to know?
Definitely. No, we're completely transparent. So
world domination.
Pretty much. Look, we do have a huge vision, and you know, in the beginning I used to think it and feel it and really kind of get excited by it, but be very scared to talk about it.
Yeah.
In little old Adelaide, you know, you talk about big visions and everyone's like, no, take it easy, mate.
Yeah. Get out of here.
I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Bobby syndrome.
It's horrible, you know, and it's real. But now I don't care, because it's like, you know, that's the vision.
This I'm is true to thing, myself. Yeah.
That's who I am. Not afraid to say it. So yeah, Nicole and I, from the start, we saw a need and an opportunity and like a purpose for us to spread what we do and what we're passionate about, not just from the food, but the whole hospitality industry and what we're trying to create as far as we can go. And when we travel interstate overseas, we're like, man, we would kill it here. Not being arrogant, but like from confidence of knowing that we would do it in a good way for the right reasons, you know, based on good ethics and science and what's good for humanity, but also that, you know, we can make it happen. Like, you know, we're entrepreneurial, like we can work hard, like this is something that we want to do. So vision is global, man. Like, we do want to have NR as a brand and take it as far as we can, even if we take it to Mars one day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the vision doesn't stop. And I think that's important. Whatever you do in life, have a vision that's bigger than you and your life ever will be, because that'll, you know, like that saying, you know, aim for the stars, at least you'll...
Aim for the moon, and at least you'll fall among the stars. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I'm like a walking, talking directory of Instagram.
You are a stripper tattoo.
I'm a stripper tattoo.
I'll just point. So that's the vision. But it has been challenging. We've had a lot of dynamics in our business, changes in our leadership, changes in our economy. So the last year has been pretty tough in our industry. Like I said earlier. The way I see it, it's a bit of a bubble. You know, we've got the same population, but all these stores and cafes and bars and restaurants have opened, and it's the same amount of population. And although we're spending more money than we did in the industry, something's going to give. I've seen it this year, and I predicted this a couple of years ago. I was like, oh, it's going to be tricky. And we spoke with some friends in the industry. People are closing down. So we paused. We've kind of said, you know what, no more stores.
Yeah.
Just hold the fort. Yeah. So what we're doing, what's next is, catering. So we've just released our catering menu. We want to target corporates and people in organizations and actually bring them the food.
Yeah.
Second thing is our retail range. So we want to start doing our nuts and our seeds and our condiments and the cool stuff that we do that tops all our cool food.
Yeah.
In jars for people to take home.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And whether we do it, and we're strategizing over that at the moment with Nicole and the team. The third thing for me, I really want to get a handle on food delivery. So a bit of a subscription thing, but also deciding to take food to people because you can see it. People are becoming even lazier with Uber Eats, like fucking up the industry, in my opinion. It's making things awesome for customers. And to be honest, I use it even today, but it's not the best thing. So I think, and I did it because I want to see
what the experience
is like. Yeah. And starting to think about how to get food more to people. Because again, not only are we busy, we are getting a little bit lazier, but also on the flip side, how to get more people into the store.
So
creating that experience.
It's interesting you point it out though, because I love Uber Eats. I'm, you know, being an introvert, but it's one of those things that I've thought about it. It's almost, it runs like a tech company. Whereas like a lot of tech companies, they run at a loss to try and get user base. And once the user base, that's when they start to monetize. We're talking about Facebook, Instagram, you know, Uber, I suppose, is probably why it runs like a tech company, because it was a tech company. Correct. But I've noticed, especially over the last couple of months, the level of service and what you get is significantly dropping. Like every bit of food I've got from Uber Eats in the last month has been cold and been late.
There you go.
And it's almost like they were artificially propping up their service with money or for a period of time. And now they've sort of saturated the market and forced a lot of places out of business.
Good call.
And now, because they're the only game in town, that the service doesn't matter as much. Mm-hmm. And I might be attributing too much to them.
No, because I think that's even happening with Ubers as well. Like, remember when Uber, like the car chauffeur service or whatever, first came out, and it was like
so much better than
it was really, really like it was far superior to a taxi. And now it's like sometimes you get one and it's awesome. Other times you get it and you're like, oh, this is a bit average. This is probably not as good as a taxi. It's oh, well, I'm here now. But
well, this guy has not been in Adelaide for 10 years, doesn't know the streets, doesn't know where he's going. The GPS has got him. Yeah, well, that's
yeah, like that. There's an aspect like if you don't know where you're going, but you're a nice person, I've got no issue. But yeah, there's a couple of times like where and that's where taxis fell down, I think, because it got to the point where you'd get into a taxi and the taxi driver was on his headset and he was just like, you were almost.
He was doing you a favor.
Yeah, you were interrupting his phone call with someone in a very loud, like whatever language that they're speaking, because I'm not going to pick one in particular.
It's probably different languages with different taxi drivers. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what is interesting, though? I noticed that because I've traveled interstate a few times for my day job. Sydney, in particular, the service of cab drivers or drivers in general was significant. It was almost like the bigger the population got, the worse the driver, the worse it got. Because it was like that again. Like I got in an Uber in Sydney. And I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, this is what being in a taxi was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy doesn't give a shit. You know, I mean, you know, he's gone the wrong way. He's on the wrong street and he's rude. Where's my Dom Perignon water? But it was like, it was interesting. I'm like, there is literally no reason for me to get an Uber here. I might as well get a taxi.
Yeah.
The only reason being is that the app's easier to use.
And that's the thing. And so speaking about industry and Uber Eats, right? And for us a while back, you know, 10% of our sales for a day were Uber Eats.
Yeah.
And that's scary. Like, it goes to show people are really, really going towards that way. And what that's also created is, you know, we're no longer competing with the people on the street. We're competing with all the...
anyone within a 10K radius of you. Yeah.
Exactly. Because when someone's sitting at home, and the trick there as well is you might think of, okay, I want something from NR.
Yeah.
Right? Normally, get up, get in your car, you go, you've got laser focus, you don't really look around as to what else is going on.
Available,
get to the shop, and then you rock up. Whereas now, you're like, oh, I feel like it's like something like, you know, I feel like something from NR. You get your phone out, open Uber Eats, what have you got? You've got a flood. You might have your
you know,
favorite.
You know what I prefer? Flood. Pizza.
That's it.
I was going to eat healthy. I was going to get something good. You know what? That pizza looks good.
Correct. And I wonder how much of that stuff happens. You know?
Well, so, imagine, how many hours do you think you have spent with your wife or significant other debating over where to fucking eat?
Well, not in my family, because I make the decision. lots of hours. Yeah. Lots and lots of times, to be honest.
There's been times where it's like, oh, do you want to go out for dinner? Yeah, okay, let's go out for dinner. Get in the car. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Like, oh, what about this place? I don't know. Get the phone out. That's it. You're sitting in the car. The car hadn't moved for an hour, and then you're arguing over like because you can't like it's
there's too much too choices. Much choice.
It's overwhelming.
I should have just had a tin of baked beans.
Yeah, it's full on. So a lot of dynamics in our industry, but what's next? Yeah, so in being realistic with all that and just having to deal with economic and competitive things that are going on in the industry,
yeah,
we've focused our attention towards that. But once we get a little bit more structure in our business, so we've still got a lot of work to do. You know, we need stronger systems, operations need to be a bit more robust, leadership needs to be developed, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Until we get to that point and we've got like a real solid or a more solid product and operation than we do now, we'll just keep ironing those kinks out. And then from there, you know, the question is, all right, do we keep expanding in Adelaide? Or do we just take the leap and step somewhere else? You know, there's a lot of things that happen in business in Australia and especially in Adelaide that make it really hard.
Yeah.
You know, we're the most regulated state and country in the world. We're the highest taxed.
Yeah.
You know, our cost of living is decent. You know what I mean? It's pretty high. Our wages are very high. You know, we could take our concept and, again, thinking globally and strategically, go to the most economically thriving, you know, country with the best, you know, support for tax and business and ease of doing business, and boom, you'd be miles ahead. Again, we might make a lot of mistakes, but we'll be a little bit further ahead than trying to grind it out here in Adelaide. So
it's interesting.
We'll make a decision. Yeah. We're going to reflect over this summer and then make a decision early next year.
You mentioned that though, but I've been to Bali once in the last 2 years. I could name more restaurants in your vein in Bali,
correct,
than I could mention in Adelaide.
Spot on.
It's like they're everywhere. Like it's not necessarily what you think about like Bali.
Well, that's because we were in like the hippie, healthy.
Yeah, we're in the health district, but I know Adelaide pretty well. I've lived here for 31 years.
Yeah,
I should be able to list more than two places I know that I could go and eat food that I would make myself, because that's what it comes down to. But a lot of the time, is the only time like I go out because it's. I can't be bothered eating, or it's like a reward instead of cooking, because I like cooking. And I generally like my cooking more than most places I go to. Like, you know, there's a few places. Your place is lovely. But don't take it. But that, like, no, like, there's yours. There's a few places that I go that it's nice food where I eat it and I don't feel sad. I don't feel like heavy afterwards. Like, I feel like this is quality food.
Yep.
There's not many places I can think of in Adelaide where a big factor in me going there isn't that I couldn't be bothered cooking. Like, you know, that happens a lot. And we've done that back to Uber Eats. And there's been a few times me and my wife had the conversation where, like, we should have just cooked this.
Yeah.
Like, I would have rather have spent half an hour cooking
than
waiting for this. Because it's just not, you know, even if it's a cheap meal. Like, I've been waiting all week to have some pasta. And this pasta's crap. Like, I can make better pasta.
Done better. Yeah,
not to mention what Mum could have made.
Yeah,
but like I could make better pasta than this.
Because I go the other way. Like I could count on one hand how many times I've used Uber Eats.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you were hungover every time, weren't you?
Pretty much, or like when I moved house, like you know, when I was moving house and I'd literally done like a 15-hour day, it was like fuck, I just cannot be bothered moving from my bed. But yeah, I'm the sort of person that. Like, I'm a tight ass, basically. I'd be like, $6 to bring it to me? Fuck that. I'll drive to the shops and get myself some food.
Spend $7 worth of Pepsi.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. There's a weird thing in my head where I just, like, I remember with you, like, I couldn't get my head around how often you got Uber Eats. And you were just like, it's normal. Like, why wouldn't you? And I'm like, why would you? Like, there's shops. I could throw a rock at the... at Northgate Shopping Centre, almost.
They asked you not to. I've had some letters. They said, please stop doing that.
If I could throw a rock a really long way, I'd be able to hit the shops with a rock. And yeah, so it's just that, I guess I just got to, I'm Jimmy Bang Bang. My feet are on the street.
Nice. Everyone values different things, you know, whether it's time or money or, you know, experience or whatever. And, you know, some people like going for drives.
Yeah.
People like getting things driven to them. It's what you value.
I was born to be a king. Just like that.
Bring me my food.
Now I've just got like an image of you like morbidly obese lying on one of those big beds while the women in bikinis like fan you with a big like palm tree leaf or something.
Awesome.
I'll leave you with that.
Yeah, it's disturbing. I'm focusing on the bikini lady.
That's it.
But yeah, but I'm still in there in your fantasy.
Love it.
Yeah.
I think it might be a wrap. Do you have any final?
Where we're at for time. We've been chatting for a while.
It's about an hour and 15.
That's not bad. Sometimes you get 20 minutes in, you're like,
It's been different roads, different topics. It's good.
We like to keep it casual because if you get a script, you it's rigid. It's weird. Like, I'd rather talk to you about something completely unrelated and stupid
and let it flow organically.
Love that. I have one more. I've got one more question before you can recap. So, are you 100% plant based?
No, I like eggs. I'll eat meat occasionally. But for me, again, bringing it back, it's where does that egg come from?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I should have brought it up earlier, but yeah.
And our concept and our vision for NR being vegetarian and predominantly plant-based is to get people eating more of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what, you can get meat and pasta and stuff in 90% of the places around.
Yeah.
You know,
not here.
Today, just try something else. Yeah. Mm. It's like, look, you'll be okay if you don't eat meat today. You'll be fine. You will not die.
We had almost that exact conversation because we had our annual meeting basically a little while ago, and we came in and had breakfast at Bowden. And I remember, and it's funny because, wasn't it, we both walked in, looked at the menu, and I was like, oh, I assumed that there was going to be a meat. Like, I know that you're plant-based, but I assumed that it was like, hey, we're predominantly plant-based, and if you really want some meat, we've got a little bit on the menu down here where we can just, like, you know, it's frowned
Take
upon.
Take it and get out.
it's frowned upon, but it's there. And we were both like, ah, okay, cool. Because otherwise, if we'd gone anywhere else, I would have got smashed avocado, halloumi, bacon on toast. Because again, that is my thought process. But this time I went in and I'm like, okay, I can't have that. I'm going to have to do a bit of research here. And I ended up having, I think we had protein stacks and they were awesome. And I was like, oh.
And also, like, I do believe that, you know, meat and animal products should be consumed in moderation.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's a need for that to be the staple. Some people disagree. Some people, all they eat is meat and animal products. Cool. But again, I think there's a lot more benefit. Yeah. In my experience from all the meat I've eaten in the past and lack of plant-based, you know, nutrition, that, you know, plants are very, very good for you.
The chemical and hormone thing, it's like, that's where we're at, basically. We're this close to buying a chest freezer and finding organically farmed meat and buying it in bulk and having it, like, you know.
That's my meat for the year.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, I've got ethical problems with it. Like, I nutritionally, I'm going to keep eating meat. Like, it's just, I know I am.
Yep.
But something's got to give. Like, I'm trying to find a way to just be a bit more. I'd love to get chickens, but I've got a staffy. So, like, I'd love to have chickens and get my own eggs. So I'm trying with no effort whatsoever.
You could very, very easily get chickens.
No, I want to get chicken, like, eggs from someone who, like, just has chickens. Like, I don't want to get eggs from a farm that's got 5,000 chickens. I want someone that's got 5 chickens that goes, my chickens laid too many. You can have a dozen as well.
Yeah, I buy all my eggs from the side of the road.
Yeah?
Because I'm always, like we're from down south. Nice. So, like, I spend a lot of time driving back roads between, like, McLaren Vale, Wollonga and stuff, and there's all the farms. So, people just put a thing out on the side of the road, like, eggs, $4.
Yeah.
You get massive, completely free range eggs for less than what you can buy them in the
yolks
shop.
Are a different color.
Yeah, they're like really yellow. But yeah, so that's why I'm all about, I won't eat the chicken breast, man. Like, I remember when I started being healthy 6 years ago and it was like, oh, you go get the $7.99 chicken from the Foodland deli section. And you think about it, like, the chicken breast is like, people can see, like, this big. And it's like, wait a minute. I've seen chickens.
Yeah.
They're not that big. Correct. Like, how are you making this meat that big?
It's weird looking chicken.
So, okay, I get it. You're pumping it full of chemicals so big it can't walk and then killing it. So, yeah, okay, that's not what I'm about.
100%.
Anyway, so, yeah. I said I had one last question and then you could wrap up. And
nice.
I started talking again.
So, yeah, I guess.
Hand back over.
Yeah, it gets pretty deep about where things come from, how they're processed, how they've been treated, what they've been pumped full of. And that's how I like to look at things. You know, that's more important. And then second layer is balance. Like, you know, do we need all that protein? Do you need all those eggs?
Yeah.
And then even deeper, you know, what's good for the environment, you know? Our impact and our effect on the world at a small individual level is really important. And if you know, you consume consciously within your means of what you need, how much you want, you know, what you actually need versus what you think you need, then if everyone had a bit more holistic and balanced approach, then everything
would just, to education again,
start to smooth out. So I just love nature. I love natural things, and I love what happens to the body, the mind, the spirit when you align with natural organic elements in as a whole. So that's what we're all about, and
we agree.
Yeah, I concur.
Right, so I'm listening to him. Couldn't agree more.
Spot on.
Yep.
You know.
Make a siren noise. You're a football boy.
A what?
A siren noise.
No.